A new report has been issued on dealing with autism spectrum disorders in Michigan. Among the people who worked on developing that plan and reviewing it is Mary Connors of Kalamazoo, who joins me. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience, tell our audience a little bit about you.
My name is Mary Connors, and I'm a parent of two children. My son has autism, and my daughter, 8. My son is 11. And I am on the board of the local Autism Society of Kalamazoo and Battle Creek.
And tell us a little bit about your work specifically on this plan. What were you involved in? What are some of the things that you did in developing this plan on autism spectrum disorder?
Well, I and many people, many families, professionals, teachers, all different kinds of people in the community contributed to this ASD plan. And the purpose of it is to basically make an outline of how to take care of people with ASD on the spectrum for the entire lifespan. And so I was allowed to view the draft, and I was allowed to critique it and add suggestions to it and finally finalize it.
So as a parent, what are some things that you think are lacking right now for people with autism? Your son's 11, so mm-hmm. maybe you have a little bit of trouble talking about beyond that. But up to 11, what are some things that you look back on and you say, this would have helped?
Well, for some people, just getting a correct diagnosis of whatever issue they have, you could go to 3 or 4 different places and get different diagnoses. And so getting a consistent diagnosis and getting consistent information to everyone so that they understand what it is and what it looks like. And also getting speech therapy, I mean, would have been great for my son. When we did have it, we had to pay out of pocket because our insurance company wouldn't cover it because he had autism. And it would have been great for him to get ABA therapy, but we certainly couldn't afford that. And just a lot of the services that would have been nice for him to have would have been very helpful.
Is this a case of society and insurance companies and all that having to sort of catch up here to recognize autism as being something similar to another medical condition that someone might have that they need treatment for?
Exactly. And more importantly, a lot of times if you front load the services when they're younger, then a lot of times when they're older, they don't need those services anymore. Whereas if you don't provide these services, then it could be a lifelong issue with them.
One of the things that is mentioned in the report is early screening. And you mentioned it there as well, diagnoses. How tough is it to pinpoint at this date and time what exactly it is on the autism spectrum disorder, on that whole spectrum of things that someone might have? What exactly is the correct diagnosis?
Well, it's interesting that they've made the new DSM manual for diagnostic criteria for autism, and they pretty much made it a big umbrella. So they're actually finding more things, more people that have different aspects of autism. And so they're covering it under this big umbrella. So I think it's a lot of it is that they're just finding more people. But I think the insurance industry is like, oh my goodness, you know, this is a lot of people to cover, and we don't want to have to cover them forever. And how are we going to deal with this? But it's it's kind of a mess, you know, and people have to decide whether they want to, as far as expansion of Medicaid, if they're willing to pay for these kind of services, if they understand that it's a lot cheaper in the beginning than it is in the long run, if they do these services early on.
Do some of the things, when you look back, you mentioned that you wish your son could have got into some things earlier. Do you still look ahead now and say there are some things that you still want him to do, maybe some things to go back to at some point and have him get some sort of therapy for different aspects of this?
Sure. I mean, a lot of people with the autism spectrum lack social skills or have very poor social skills. And that's something that I would love for him to be able to understand, you know, to be able to ask questions, to be able to answer questions and have a good conversation with somebody, which he would need speech therapy for, and he would need social skills practice. And there's not always the availability of getting these classes for free, or they cost a whole lot, or insurance doesn't cover it. So it's up to me to provide these social skills and ways of achieving them for him.
Now, obviously, you talk to other parents as well who have autistic children. Do you find many of the same problems, that they are also trying to seek services? And perhaps you know some people with children who are older. And I'm wondering, does it get tougher as children move closer to the age of legal adulthood?
It does get tougher because a lot of the services are geared towards young people. And it seems like when they hit in this state, the age of 26, they kind of get lost in the system or just get lost in general. And so it would be nice to have these services provided for adults and within their own community. You know, we shouldn't have to go to Ann Arbor or to Detroit or Grand Rapids in order to get some of these services.
Reading from the executive summary of this report, lifetime costs for a person on the spectrum are estimated to be $3.2 million, mm-hmm. Including costs for education, home and community-based services, and lost individual and family income. However, most important is the long-term impact on individual lives and the lives of family members if effective services and supports are not provided from a young age and throughout adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your life experience, do you agree with that statement in full?
I agree with that statement if they didn't get any services at all. Like I said, a lot of times if they receive services while they're young, then many times they don't need as many services as they get older. But there will always be some people that will need, you know, one-on-one help for all of their lives or, you know, some kind of assistance. So, but as they get older, they don't need as many, as much help if they've gotten these services at an early age.
In the 11 years, you know, that your son's been with you, have you seen some changes in how people respond to autism and a change perhaps in the awareness of people in general about autism and spectrum disorder?
There's a lot more people questioning it. You know, people come up to you, does your child have autism? You know, because they've been told about these things, but they want to connect it with a picture of somebody. And yet, you know, one picture of somebody with autism is that one person with autism. Everybody's so different that is on the spectrum. But there is a lot of curiosity. And it would be nice, you know, like if somebody is in a store with their child and their child's overwhelmed by the bright lights or whatever, and they start tantruming, you know, instead of thinking that parent's a bad parent, you know, maybe thinking, oh, maybe that child's being overwhelmed. Maybe I could help them out somehow, you know, or instead of judging them based on their actions or their behaviors, giving them the benefit of the doubt, thinking, well, maybe they're overwhelmed by something, you know. So I think, you know, there's a little less judgment going on and a little more awareness in the community.
More awareness in the community. Do you hope to see that translate into some changes in public policy? And do you think that the state is getting at that somewhat with this report?
I hope so. I mean, this is something for them as a guide, and even insurance companies, for that matter, as a guide. And it's something that has been addressed by so many people, so many professionals. It's well-rounded. And I think that this is a great opportunity for people on the spectrum to get the things that they need.
Specifically on public policy, what are a change or two out there? You know, maybe specifically a law or something that you would, if you could wave a magic wand.
Magic wand?
Yeah.
Healthcare, affordable healthcare for everyone. You know, not just the people that can afford it, not just, you know, even Medicaid expansion. That would be great because it would cover more people and help more people get the services that they need. That would be wonderful.
The Lieutenant Governor, Brian Calley, has a daughter who has been diagnosed with autism. Do you, as someone out here sort of at the grassroots level, feel that there is some benefit to having someone in the position of power, having the ear of the governor, someone who has been vocal about this issue? Is there some benefit to having somebody in that position who can relate very much to what you're going through?
Oh, yes, definitely. And him being the right-hand man, he's always got his ear. So I think that, you know, it being close up and personal for our governor to see and always have, you know, our lieutenant governor letting him know that these are the challenges that even he is going through to find services for his child. Yes, it is definitely a positive.
You mentioned before that there's more of these diagnoses. People are finding these more. Does that help explain somewhat, in your opinion? And again, I know you're not necessarily a scientist or anything like that, but just based on what you observe as someone who involved in this issue, is that part of why we're seeing this rise in autism, that we're just finding it more, and there's not necessarily, it's not necessarily an environmental thing. Maybe it is, but is there just, physicians finding it, better diagnoses, better things that we didn't attribute to autism before that now people are saying, yes, that's part of the spectrum?
I think that is true. A lot of times there were girls that were on the spectrum that weren't necessarily diagnosed because they were just quiet. They liked being on the computer. They didn't give anybody any problems. So they were the good kids. But now they're finding that, there are more girls that are also on the spectrum than they thought, but it's still very predominantly boys. It is being diagnosed more, but I think that I personally think it's an environmental and genetic thing. And it would be nice to be able to, they're working on gene sequences now and finding certain genes that are showing up for people with autism. And they're finding ways that they could turn on and off these genes, which I think is so cool to be able to, think that you could actually create medications for people based on that person's genetics. And so I'm hoping that something like that will come along. And, it may not be a cure, but it would be something that would help their behaviors maybe.
And I guess as a parent here, how much do you look at that aspect of it, and how much of it do you look at dealing with the person that your son is now, the therapies, those sort of things? I mean, how much does the cause of autism interest you as opposed to dealing with it now in real time?
I'm interested in helping all people with disabilities, so anything that I can do to help them, I will do. And I just hope that when it comes to people on the spectrum, that they just get the things that they need and get them sooner rather than later.
Mary, thank you for your time.
Thank you.